Well, it's not exactly the secret war in Cambodia, but a story in today's New York Times by Eric Schmidt and Mark Mazzetti, the national security correspondent for the New York Times, should give you some insight into attacks that have been making it into the headlines recently. The story says that the U.S. since 2004 has used broad secret authority to carry out nearly a dozen undisclosed attacks against al-Qaeda and other militants in countries where crossing the border apparently was not an issue, that the authority granted by Donald Rumsfeld in the spring of 2004 with the approval of President Bush allowed attacks to be taken place inside countries and also to be approved at a lower level than the president. To explain how all this works, Mark Mazzetti joins us from Washington, D.C. Mark, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are two levels on which this is really significant. One, it explicitly allows for attacks inside sovereign nations. And secondly, it changes in some way that actually I want you to explain the chain of command.
Well, what it does is you're right on the first one in that it allows for the military to act inside countries, usually without the country's permission, to act on al-Qaeda targets, suspected al-Qaeda targets, in places such as Pakistan, Syria, Somalia, and that it allows the military to get these things approved more quickly than trying to do it on a case-by-case basis. So what happened was in 2004, they issued a broad order that would basically countenance this type of thing, and then it would allow for the planning to go ahead, and then the ultimate approval, though, still would have to be at the highest levels in Washington.
Now, all of the countries weren't disclosed in your report because sources, I suspect, thought it was pretty sensitive, but they certainly were clear about one thing, that Iran apparently was not one of the countries. The Bush administration seems to be pretty sensitive about that. What does the countries named say about the Bush policy?
Well, it certainly says that first of all that there's a handful of countries where they believed to have the biggest Al Qaeda problem or the places where there's most suspected Al Qaeda targets. The Iran issue, for a number of reasons, is really so much more politically sensitive than the others, and it's sort of, I believe, handled separately than this order detailed in 2004. That's not to say that there haven't been reconnaissance missions inside of Iran by the military, but if so, they're done under a different authority. So the countries we're talking about are countries around the Persian Gulf, Syria, Pakistan, the Horn of Africa. We talked about some operations that happened after Ethiopia invaded Somalia in late 2006, and that these operations took place in early 2007.
I mean, Mark, clearly this triggers all kinds of legal questions. But before we even go there, talking about politically sensitive, all of these countries, and particularly Pakistan, who ultimately can sign off on these attacks inside sovereign nations?
Well, it's the Bush administration believes that they are on pretty firm legal grounds to carry out these types of attacks. They believe that under authorities to, in part, it's self-defense. It's against al-Qaeda, which is committed to attacking the United States. So the United States to defend itself. If another country is unable to prevent al-Qaeda from operating, the United States will act. And that this took place, this sort of legal wrangling took place over a period of time, but they ultimately gave the authority not only to the CIA, but a little bit more delicately to the military. So they believe under international law that there's a pretty firm legal foundation.
Mark, I mean, the fascinating part about your story is just how Jim Clancy all these operations are, and you describe it in some detail. But I'm wondering how much danger there is in a policy like this and what your sources had to say about it, of opportunistic sort of crafting an attack to be against al-Qaeda, whether it is or not, because it falls under the umbrella of this quick approval sort of authority that Rumsfeld approved back in 2004.
Well, I guess the question would really be also what the how broadly you define al-Qaeda and how broadly of an umbrella you have to strike at these targets. For instance, what we saw about a month ago in Syria was an attack on a al-Qaeda in Iraq suspected militant, and there's some who would argue that they're really two separate organizations, Al-Qaeda in Iraq and sort of the central Al-Qaeda organization. And so if you use this broad authority, which gives you authority to attack Al-Qaeda, to use it inside Syria against an Al-Qaeda in Iraq target, it may broaden the window for other things as well.
Mark, I think my beloved co-host meant Tom Clancy, but
I said Jim Clancy. That's the CNN guy.
But just to get back to the legal point, well, this is also the same administration that signed off on Guantanamo Bay and the Patriot Act and some of the other issues that have come before the Supreme Court in the last couple of years, and they've been pushed back. Why is this story being leaked now, do you think?
Well, we were just trying to find out in the last few weeks what authorities the Pentagon was using to do recent operations. You know, the raid in Syria about a month ago was something that we thought was maybe the first time. It was a first that they were going in Syria. So we tried to do more reporting to find out exactly what authorities they were using and whether, in fact, it was the first time. What we found out, actually, was that it was not the first time and that these authorities date back several years. So really, we were just trying to find out more about how the military has been operating in these countries that are, you know, as they say, not declared war zones like Afghanistan or Iraq.
And maybe there's a bit of covering going on there where people are saying to you, hey, there's nothing new. This is Rumsfeld back in 04. Don't hang it on me in the last days of the Bush administration, right?
Well, I mean, I think that they, you know, the people who were willing to talk were, you know, did ultimately come forth with information that it was, you know, that these have happened on several occasions, and they did not particularly like the fact that, you know, countries may just be finding out for the first time that the United States has been there, but ultimately they did confirm that it had happened.
Well, Mark, fascinating stuff. Mark Mazzetti, National Security Correspondent from The New York Times, talking to us from Washington, D.C.
I bet we haven't heard the last of that, John. Something tells me. And speaking of betting, here's your takeaway.
It's as if the U.S. Open in tennis or golf allowed you to buy your way in. So therefore, anybody who is a poker player can actually play in what was or still is the biggest tournament in the world.
That's ESPN Magazine editor Gary Belsky talking about the World Series of Poker, and we're $180 million worth of prizes.
$10,000 to get in. It's slightly a high bar there.
Yeah, but if you could pay 10 to get $180 million, would you do it?
I'm so bad at poker. We're always on at The Takeaway. Our podcast is on iTunes with everything you missed today, including Gary Belsky's poker suggestion, if you like.
I'm Adora Udoji.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.